Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Mark, we have a listener question from Justin in Berkeley. Justin writes us, Mark mentions geocosmic events and longer cycles in his interviews. I was wondering if he was tracking the rapid movement of the magnetic pole positioning over the years. Apparently, it's quite rapid. Lately, at 40 miles a year, moving towards Siberia, NASA and government agencies are loath to blame climate issues on this dramatic shift, since it doesn't fit their human-caused narrative. But wouldn't this natural event affect cosmic rays and exposure to other solar events? It sounds like a big deal to me. And they even based a bad end-of-the-world movie called 2012 with John Cusack on it. Well, Mark, should we be worried about the magnetic North Pole marching towards St. Petersburg, Russia?
Well, I don't know how worried we should be about it. It's been happening for a long time. Basically, I'm not a geocosmic scientist, but there has been, a movement, as you said, about 30 to 40 miles per year towards Siberia. Differentiating the true magnetic north from where we normally consider the North Pole to be. But my bigger concern is whether the geomagnetic field, according to the cursory reading that I do, has been decaying for 3,000 years, and something like that, could potentially lead to a polar shift. There was some analysis suggesting that there was a possibility that could be what is termed a vast anticyclone in the southern portion of the Earth's liquid metal outer core, which could be pushing out magnetic fields from the South Atlantic region. Apparently some satellites have picked up on this. And if that, continues and is as powerful as some theoretical scientists who talk about this subject say, that could trigger, a shift in the poles. And, something like that happens, we're toast. You know what I mean? It's like we're upside down and Antarctica is where North America is, and we'll probably be instantly frozen, and be those stories that we hear about animals being instantly frozen when some shift occurred on the planet thousands and thousands of years ago. So yeah, there'd be another Noah's Ark type event if that happened. But we live in a very dynamic world and planet. I mean, I talk about all kinds of stuff. The movement of the moon and the seasons and how that affects markets and affects our world, and we were probably wiped out. High civilizations probably existed on this planet millions of years ago, maybe not that long ago, and so the planet shifted and they were vaporized instantly, and we keep coming back in different forms over the eons. I mean, that's sort of my theory of the history of the planet. We reach a point, the planet does something unexpected. That's why Elon Musk's idea of setting up bases on Mars and creating an alternate Earth make a lot of sense. Though some people believe we're originally from Mars. We had migrated thousands or millions of years ago, hundreds of millions of years ago, and left, doesn't have to be that long, maybe hundreds of thousands of years ago, left Mars. That's why we see artifacts and things up there. So at least that's some of what the pictures are showing. So, real interesting world we live in, and you can't worry about it, but it's interesting to study it and realize that you got to enjoy each day that you have because, like we're here in Phoenix and there's a hurricane hitting north from Mexico, though it's not going to hit us. Things that appear impossible or unexpected, have already happened and continue to happen including volcanic activity and all kinds of fun stuff. I'm watching a video someone sent me about a meteorite crashing into the Earth. Gorgeous. I'm going to post it on my website, and you can see how when it hit the ocean, the whole Earth shook around where the photographer was, and that was a small event. So best answer I could give you is let's track it. It's fun to study it and theorize about it, but if these things trigger in a major way, our time here on Earth is going to be awfully limited.
Yeah, well, the Fukushima earthquake back in 2010, I believe, or 2011, it was so powerful it stopped the Earth's spin for a split second. So, yeah, geocosmic events are very real and in not the far distant past either.
Listen, the scientists, you could poo-poo asteroid activity, but there's a whole website you could track, and they show you where all the asteroids are and their distance from the Earth. A very serious study is involved in even a subject like that. When we talk about geocosmics, it's not, a joke, you're crazy to bring up the subject. Serious scientific study is involved in the movement of asteroids around the solar system and their impact and distance from the Earth at every moment, and that's why there's talk about redirecting some of these things if they do get close and having the technology to destroy them or break them up. So, we could talk about these things as being science fiction or fantasy, but no, there's serious money being spent and time in pursuing what kind of geocosmic events could affect us and how we could perhaps prevent them or change them. So, I got involved in, cycles of the moon, 30, 40 years ago about the effect on the planet and the markets and climate and all kinds of fun stuff. And one thing led to another, and you find out, we're just little insects here. There's great forces at work. Many people, laugh at astrology, and now you're finding out, and there's physics, pointing to the music of the planets, and there's actually like musical tones that are created from the planets orbiting around the sun, and this is actually being studied in Phoenix. So, and in physics, I meant not Phoenix, but, a lot of stuff, that says that the work of astrologers and all this stuff for thousands of years had some merit, that there is some patterns there, and there get to be music in the heavens, and somehow this creates patterns that affect here on Earth and our cycles, and whether it has to do with, agriculture or markets. It's just fascinating stuff. So you got to keep your ears and minds open. If you sit all day listening to financial markets and the conventional news and thinking this is the total reality, you're really misdirected. What I'm talking about is the real reality and how it possibly affects us and in our day-to-day and for our heirs. So anyway, just interesting stuff. And unfortunately, a lot of the stuff, hits home very quickly when a disaster hits or there's a major earthquake or there's a shift in the planet's core that supposedly was unexpected. But just love studying it. I think you do, too. So thank you for bringing it up.
Mark, before we go any further, do you have a disclaimer and do you have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. Well, at VRTrader.com, we cover a lot of this subject just ancillarily because it's a lot of fun. If you do want to sign up for any of our newsletters, go to VRTrader.com, and there is a 50% discount if you enter the promo code 2022, half off, 2022, half off, just as it sounds. And I also want to make the disclaimer that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. And if you are interested in my technical indicator, the VR, which is what that volume reversal, which is what this is all about, and my technical work, you go to metastock.com and you can sign up for an add-on indicator and track some of the VRs, volume reversals, that I track and report in many of our individual market indices and stock trades. So thank you for bringing that up.
Mark, the Fed, will they be hiking rates as high or as high as the Bank of Canada did, 0.75%?
you know, it's very interesting what's going on. You know, I'm sort of anti-Feds, and I have actually articles in my newsletter about abolishing the Fed. In fact, we're actually talking about repealing the 16th Amendment here in the U.S. In one of our articles, former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee, has a whole video on that, which we put into the newsletter as well. And that's the amendment revolving the legalization of income tax. It'd be great if we can get rid of that. That would solve the IRS issue of having hired 80,000 agents if you don't have income tax anymore. A lot of changes are coming, but whether we'll see it in our lifetime or not, but there is talk about that type of thing. But meanwhile, the Fed is stumbling over itself. You know, it's it didn't catch last year's Jackson Hole event. As you probably heard in the reports, their comments were totally wrong, inverted. Their movement in interest rates is not enough to change things when you have a Congress in the United States that keeps spending money. So, you know, one hand is doing one thing, the other hand is doing the other. The Fed itself has a lot of tools that they don't talk about, including buying stocks and manipulating the stock market. In fact, we could talk about at some future point what's going on in Japan right now. Japan, for example, owns 80% of all the ETFs in the U.S. and virtually owns the entire government bond market. So there's an implosion coming there, and we don't know what the Fed has done or not done here in the U.S. Probably emulated what the Japanese government has done. So there's so much shenanigans going on, and the Fed may raise interest rates, but are they expanding or contracting the money supply around that? There's so many, like I say, there's so many tools and things that they get into. All we talk about is the Fed funds rate. Can they control inflation around the world? The answer is no. What happens in terms of geopolitical events? So there's so many things here. You know, the Fed probably, answer your question, they're probably going to raise because they committed themselves to do it. Will that change anything? I have a gut feeling that before this is over, with all the geopolitical events going on, we've got Russia now partnering up with North Korea to buy weapons. You could see interest rates or percentages up in the 20% area like we saw back in the 1970s. A lot of this little pullback you're seeing now, I think, is political. You know, the way crude oil is suddenly retraced so magically, and how things are going to look better into the election in November here in the U.S., and then suddenly things could change back to reality again. So crude oil is going to go back up again because of the geopolitical and all the other, not even bringing in the geocosmic stuff. And, you know, I know, I think this is a 2-3 year war we're going to be fighting, and it's not going to happen so quick, and the Fed's going to be embarrassed because they'll drive the markets lower, the U.S. and Canadian markets lower by raising rates because apparently Canada is following along, cause a recession, and, you know, just create all kinds of turmoil, and then find at the end that they really can't change the geopolitical and what's happening around the world, and inflation can continue anyway. So my fear is we could be back in the 1970s. With Paul Volcker, and have interest rates at 16% to 20%, and have a really devastating situation to our world economies, unrelated or perhaps related to the geopolitical that's going on up there. When I turn on TV, and I'll try to keep this short, I mean, all they talk about is the Fed, the Fed, the Fed, and when's the stock market going to go up? And I keep thinking about North Korea, Iran, Russia, Taiwan, China, Israel, Iran, you know, all kinds of other stuff going on the planet, which, you know, have tremendous impact and will have tremendous impact. And what if Japan implodes because of their financial situation? We already know that China has having economic problems. Their real estate market apparently has collapsed. There's stories that investors or I guess just citizens don't want to put their money in the banks in China. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that could really change things, Jim. So bottom line is, yes, they're going to probably raise rates, but I think it's not going to solve the problem, and it's actually creating a bigger problem.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, the U.S. dollar seems to be on a real charge higher. Anything going to slow it down?
I don't think so. I mean, it's overbought on the charts. It has a little pullbacks, and that gets people excited for a couple days that, you know, maybe gold and silver will take off and so forth, not reflecting on the fact that the gold-silver market is heavily manipulated, which we've talked about for forever. But at some point, each dog has its day, and it probably will take off at some point. Maybe it'll be a nice trade, so we'll talk about that at another point. But, yeah, the gold market and the dollar is a big concern for those who are the gold bugs. Dollar still is in a big uptrend, and there's a lot of reasons why it should be. It's a flight to safety. So, you know, until they get rid of the dollar, which I'm sure Russia would like to do with the ruble getting strong and China wanting, having the yuan take over and get rid of the U.S. and the dollar altogether. I mean, we're enemies to these countries. So, I mean, the dollar collapse would be, it'd be a great party in China and Russia, I'm sure, if that ultimately happened, but it hasn't happened yet. So, I would stay with the trend. The trend is up until it's not. And, I think with what the Fed's doing and what's going on around the world, I think the flight of safety issue, as long as the dollar is there, will keep it strong. Maybe after a couple years, it'll change and it'll resume some type of downtrend. But right now, it's in an uptrend.
China, I know, loves to talk tough and how it doesn't need the U.S. to survive. But really, China being an economy that produces goods in the U.S. and Europe, which consumes so many goods, Russia really isn't that much of a positive trading partner. Apparently, their GDP is something equivalent to Italy's. That may not be the precise number, but their economy isn't that big.
Well, you know, China still is a big force in terms of its military and its ambitions and the fact that it's bought into the U.S. government. So many people are on their payroll, we found out, and we're, you know, they're influenced, buying up agricultural real estate all over the United States. I mean, their goal is to take control of the U.S. I mean, I think that's their big 50 or 100-year plan, however they choose to do that. So subversion, stealing secret or patented technology, military strength. You know, some people say that the shutdowns in China now are not related to COVID. They're intentionally trying to weaken the West by not producing the goods and services that are needed. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, theory behind what their big plan is. But we do know their plan is to grow and conquer the world as far as they can. So I think, you know, it's realistic. They're building islands in the South China Sea. They want to establish bases on the moon. I'm sure for military purposes, you know, so, you know, the bottom line is it's something to be reckoned with. And, you know, they're there, and, we're weakening because of our political system and, just a lot of discussion regarding what's going on in Europe and Klaus Schwab and the one world government. But we can get into that in another conversation. But China is, you know, I think, you know, the original predictions that I had read said by the middle part of the century, China, you know, will surpass the U.S., so we'll see.
What do you think is going to happen with crude once the winter of severe discontent hits Europe, as Russia now says it will use food and energy as weapons?
Well, you definitely want to own natural gas, because that's becoming more valuable. A lot depends on what we do here. You know, whether there's a political change here in the U.S., whether we start producing more crude oil and getting back to where we were before Biden came into the White House, and you know, big production here. Assuming there is a change in that sentiment, maybe even the Democrats realize they can get votes by changing that edict about the pipeline and all the things that occurred that, you know, restricted the production and supply here in the U.S. and elsewhere. So, but my overall view is, you know, there's a mental illness issue here in terms of how you transition from fossil fuels to electric vehicles and, you know, reduce the use of fossil fuels or eliminate them when you really need them for other purposes. My longer-term view was, you know, we're creating shortages that shouldn't be created, and unless there is significant political change here in the U.S., you know, there's going to be much higher crude oil prices down the road on a multi-year basis. I have no no problem thinking crude's going to be back to 140, 150, if not 200 or even higher. So, you know, just a question of whether sense comes into those or in control. You know, we need other sources of energy, yes, but you can't just get rid of crude oil. And now, of course, you've got the war in Europe and what that's going to lead to. I have to be a bull on crude oil. And I think Warren Buffett owning Occidental Petroleum and was a genius move. And I don't think he's selling any of that stock. If you remember the history, by the way, of Oxy, Armand Hammer, who created that company, was actually doing business with Lenin, you know, back when the Russian Revolution occurred back in the early part of the 20th century. And he, from what I understand, Armand Hammer was the only person that that Russia would deal with in terms of business. So I think it's sort of interesting that Oxy is strong and that the Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett had bought Oxy, and we got a Russian problem going on at the same time. I mean, Oxy goes way back in history here as being, an ally or a favorite business partner of Russia. I wouldn't be surprised if that goes further in the years ahead based on the historical relationship that company had with Russia. Just we'll see if that happens or not. But when I heard about that, I said it's obvious that that would be a great buy in this type of environment.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for our guests like Mark or for the show, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're on Facebook as well. And you can find us on BitChute @TalkDigitalNetwork. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.